Even more than homeowners facing thirsty lawns and diners missing their ice water, farmers are especially hard hit by the drought. Willie Adams raises cattle and chickens on his farm in Greensboro, Georgia. He joins us now on the phone. And from member station WCVE in Richmond, we have John Boyd, a Baskerville, Virginia farmer and the founder of the National Black Farmers Association. Welcome to you both.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thanks so much.
Mr. Adams, let's start with you. How is the drought affecting your farm?
Well, it affected my farm by me raising grass-fed cows and natural organic chickens. My cows, I had to sell part of my animals because I didn't have the grass to feed them. And when you're growing them grass-fed, you know, that's the main source, you know. So it's really affecting us real hard there.
Mr. Boyd, what about you? You still farm, too, as well as running the association.
Absolutely. And, Michelle, this is one of the worst droughts I've seen since I've been a farmer. And we started what we call picking corn. In our county, we generally get 110 bushels to the acre, and we're somewhere between 15 and 20 bushels an acre because of this drought. And it's going to be very, very hard for farmers to take such a drastic hit like this. And we're going to need assistance from different states as well as the federal government, you know, to come in and help us out here with this drought.
Mr. Adams, have you ever seen anything like this?
It's been about 15 or 20 years, but not as dry as this because we didn't have as many houses and different things at that time in the area. But no, this is really the first time I've really seen it this dry.
You know, you just made a point that I hadn't considered because you raise grass-fed cattle and natural chickens, you can't use feed. You can't just import food for them.
That's right.
So what are you going to do?
Well, basically, I'm trying to sell them more with the natural-grown poultry, the chickens, because I have three poultry houses, which the company I was growing for moved away and didn't leave me with a contract. So I'm trying to use my houses to grow natural chickens if we can find a market for them, because everything on my farm is natural.
Mr. Boyd, you said that you're going to need some assistance. What kind of assistance is available? Do you have crop insurance, for example, or anything like that?
We have crop insurance, but we certainly have asked the governor here in Virginia, and we've asked the new Secretary of Agriculture, who just came in place, to declare the Southeast, especially down in places like Georgia and Mississippi, a natural disaster as far as requesting drought assistance. We haven't heard anything back from our request from the Bush administration for assistance for the farmers. So when I say assistance, we're looking for drought payments that would help cut the losses. For example, on my corn where I was getting 110 bushels to the acre, and I'm now getting 15, 20 bushels to the acre, we're going to need some kind of assistance. And this is the time of year where farmers have to pay the yearly notes. Willie Adams knows all about the notes that come due at the farmer's home and the local banks that come due once a year. And it's going to be real tough for the farmers to make those annual payments.
Mr. Boyd, I know we've had this conversation before in other stories that, you know, I've reported on with you. And, you know, farming is not easy for anybody. But are there ways in which you feel that African-American farmers face especially difficult challenges at a time like this?
Absolutely. We've had a tough time, myself, Willie Adams. We've been in this fight a long time. We've had a tough time getting assistance from the federal government. We're in the U.S. Farm Subsidy Program. Black farmers participate at a tune of 0.1% to 1%. So we don't even equal a percent in the U.S. Farm Subsidy Program that totaled out $120 billion over the past 5 years. So when you look at those numbers and see the trying time that we've had in participating in federal loans, where it takes 40 days to process a white loan application and nearly 380 days for a black farmer application. And for those loans that I talked about earlier, when you don't get them on time, then it causes you to plant late. And when you don't plant on time, you just don't have the yields. So we've been struggling. We have a bill pending in Congress that did pass the House of Representatives that would allow 70,000 black farmers' cases to be heard on its merits. So I'm hopeful that President Bush will sign that language into law, into the farm bill, that would allow 70,000 black farmers to have their cases heard.
Why do you think that is, that the applications, the loan applications for African-American farmers take so much longer than that? Is it because their farms are smaller, because the white farmers belong to bigger operations, or what do you think?
The further you go down south, places like where Willie lives in Mississippi, the farmers face discrimination. And the Department of Agriculture did a study back in 1997 and did an admission of guilt, which caused that case to be settled in federal court. that said that they did discriminate against black farmers. And a lending officer in my county tore my application up and threw it in the trash can, you know, while I was sitting there in front of him. And said, I'm not going to process this application this year. We don't have any money available right now.
Wait, he literally tore it in front of you?
Yes, while I was sitting there. And, you know, we had some words afterwards. I wasn't far along as I am in my religion right now. But back then, we had some words. And he said, hey, if you want to come back next year, that's up to you. We went to the county office only one day a week where we were allowed to see the county supervisor. And the black farmers in Mecklenburg County called it Black Wednesday because we all knew each other. And we was afraid to challenge the system because USDA was the lender of last resort. And we figured if we didn't get any help there, then Willie can attest, 9 chances out of 10, we just was not going to get lent any money.
Mr. Adams, do you have a story like that?
Yes, just about the same type story. I would go to the office, and if you want to get a loan, for instance, if it was a loan, you would need $25,000 for to make your project successful. They would only lend you stuff in the neighborhood, maybe $10,000 or $12,000. In other words, they would lend you just enough to get your neck in the noose, but not enough to make the project successful. Either they would say they wouldn't have any money, different things like that. And it's just a struggle. And that's why I'm at the point now where I'm just trying to do it on a niche market. And that's the reason why we have a little group we call Red Hills Natural Food Co-op. We're trying to grow stuff natural because you can't compete out there on the big market.
Okay.
But also we had all of the black farmers that I knew had supervised bank accounts. And when we had to buy fertilizer and seed and equipment and things like this, the few times I was lent operating money, and that was something that was, very degrading, to have a supervised bank account where my county supervisor had to sign the checks. And I had to go to the seed, fertilizer, and equipment dealer that he said I had to go to buy certain things.
Mm-hmm. So, Mr. Boyd, what are your plans? Mr. Adams said that he's going to try to shift from the cattle to poultry because I guess presumably they need less food. What are you going to do if the drought continues?
Well, I'm looking to do more fruits and vegetables and looking to put farmers markets. I'm trying to partner with the black churches to where black farmers will be able to sell their goods locally and get away from the large-scale type productions and begin to scale our operations down to a smaller scale to where we can make a sizable living. And I think the way to do that is to begin diversifying and doing things like what Willie Adams is doing. But also, I think niche stuff like partnering with the black church and having those type of markets available for our people. And I'm looking for, to get more young people into agribusiness and get them back on the farm. And I think if you're a black person in this country and you want to maintain your existence, we need to look at buying more land as a group of people and producing more food in this country.
Well, good luck with the rest of the growing season.
Well, thank you.
Can you keep us posted on how things are going?
Yes, we will.
All right. How about you too, Mr. Adams? Will you keep us posted?
Yes, I will.
All right. John Boyd is the founder and president of the National Black Farmers Association. He joined us from Richmond, Virginia. Willie Adams also joined us. He raises organic cattle and chickens on his farm in Greensboro, Georgia. And he joined us by phone from Greensboro. Thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.